Please join me in our first song, How Firm a Foundation.
How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said? You who unto Jesus for refuge have fled. Fear not, I am with thee, O be not dismayed. I am thy God, and will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand. Upheld by my gracious, omnipotent hand, the soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes. The soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never forsake.
Scripture reading this morning is the first six verses of the 23rd Psalm. And since it should be familiar to a lot of us, I want to try something different this morning, and I'd like you guys to read this with me. Ready? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare before me in the presence of my enemy. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely his mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house forever. Thank you.
Shackled by a heavy burden, 'neath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, since he cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me, oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. Would you join me in prayer at this time? Loving and holy God, we give thee thanks that we are here today to honor you and worship you in spirit and in truth. And God, we thank you that the love of Jesus touched each one of us. And we became your children to follow your ways. And God, we ask your blessings on each one of us. We have many blessings by following Christ. We have forgiveness of sins. We have the promise of resurrection of our bodies. We have the promise of life eternal in heaven with you. These are our blessings we have in Christ. And this morning as we gather to surround the table, let's remember the great love that He showed for each one of us when He gave His life on the cross, and that He had the power over death and was resurrection. God, there are our brothers and sisters of Christ who need your prayer. Lord, they're listed in the bulletin. May we take time each day to pray for them. God, they need your strength. They need our prayers for their strength and healing, God. We give thee thanks, God, for yesterday we had a good party here, work party. Bless each one that was here, the men and women and the boys and girls that worked so hard to accomplish what needed to be done. And God, we give thee thanks that our president was protected last night from an assassin. For the men and women who protect him, to give their lives first to protect him. So we thank you, God, for these blessings. And may we be uplifted this morning as Gail brings a lesson from your word to inspire us to live closer to you each day, to be loving and kind to each other. May our lives be filled with your spiritual blessings. I pray for our secretary, Sheila, and her husband as they travel, that you will bless them and keep them safe as they travel through Europe the next couple of weeks. Lord, you have blessed us every day, and we thank you for these blessings. Thank you for your great love. It's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
I wanted to quickly mention that I was baptized right here exactly 1 year ago. And and that was just a huge blessing to me and has continued to be a huge blessing. And this next song is one of my favorites because it's a reminder that I truly have 10,000 reasons to be grateful for God's love and mercy and his redemption.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I'll worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I'll worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I'll worship your holy name. And on that day, when my strength is failing, the end draws near, and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I'll worship your holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul, I'll worship your holy name. I'll worship your holy name. I'll worship your holy name.
If we have any visitors with us this morning, we are so happy and glad you are here to worship with us. Thank you for being here. And I wanted to mention that in the seat back in front of you, there's a visitor welcome packet. If you want to take a look at that, it has information about worship times, Bible studies, lots of things you can know about the church. And there's also a card in there if you'd like to fill out your information and drop that in the collection basket later. We would just love to know that you are here and visit us this morning. So feel free to take that visitor packet home with you so that you'll know what's going on here at the church. And thank you again for joining us. As we sing this next song, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, let's focus on preparing our hearts and our minds for receiving the Lord's Supper.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count by contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my Lord.
To further our communion thoughts, I'm going to read some scriptures out of Corinthians. Corinthians 1:8. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but who are being saved, it is the power of God. 1:29. But you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God. 2:5. Our faith should be not in the wisdom of men, but the power of God. 2:16. We have the mind of Christ. 3:9. We are God's fellow workers, God's field, God's building. Our foundation is in Jesus Christ. 3:16, we are the temple of God. 4:10, we are fools for God's, for Christ's sake, wise in Christ. And in Corinthians 2, 2 through 3, we are an epistle of God. So look what we are. We're an epistle. We are fools for Christ. We're the temple of God. We're God's fellow workers, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. All because we were bought at a price. Therefore, we glorify God. 1 Corinthians 6:20. In 1 Corinthians 15:57, thanks to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have that victory. In 15:3, I, who is talking about Paul, preach to you that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and he was seen by many. Look what Christ has done for us, and look what we should do for Christ. Let's go to prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you as we take these elements that we can be an epistle to you. We thank you that we have the victory through Jesus Christ and that we were bought with a price. We must remember this, and therefore we glorify God. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this. We glorify and we honor you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Let us pray over the fruit of the vine. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy, that you gave your only Son, and that through his blood our sins are covered, and that we have life, eternal life. We thank you for this, and we praise you for this. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. We now have the opportunity and the privilege to give back to the Lord. I have some verses from Corinthians again that talk about giving. 1 Corinthians 16:2. On the first day of the week, let each of you lay up something aside, storing up as you have been prospered. 2 Corinthians 3:5, our sufficiency is from God. 8:9, Christ was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. For our sake he became poor. 8:12, for if there is first a willing mind, it is accepted according to what one has, and not according to what one does not have. 2 Corinthians 2, 9, 5 through 9, prepare your generous gift beforehand as a matter of generosity and not grudgingly obligation. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Let each one give as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we recognize that our wealth, our sufficiency comes from you, and that we can give back a portion for your kingdom's work. And help us be cheerful givers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Children are now dismissed for Bible hour. And please stand for this next song. Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. Sons of men and angels say, hallelujah. Raise your joys and triumph high. Hallelujah. Sing ye heavens, thou earth reply. Hallelujah. Fought the fight, the battle won. Hallelujah. Lo, our sun's eclipse is o'er. Hallelujah. Lo, he sets in blood no more.
Daniel. Good morning, friends in Christ. If you're visiting, thank you for joining us for worship this lovely spring morning. We had our church work day yesterday and got quite a lot done. I was grateful for all of those who are willing to roll up their sleeves for the good of this congregation. And may the Lord be honored in the works of this church. Well, let's jump into our memory verse as we start this morning. Say this together with me. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. So let's keep working on those words, getting them into our heart. Well, today we're finishing Romans chapter 3, where Paul is just wrapping up an argument that really highlights the universal problem that we all face, that all humanity shares. And because we all share the same problem, it really puts us in a place where we don't have grounds to look down on others, not based on our own righteousness. If you have rocks to throw at the sinners around you, you're a sinner. Take heed. You are one of those sinners. And truly, none of us is in a place where we can stand before God and boast about our own righteousness. Look, Lord. All right, you see those other people? Now look at me. Are you impressed? Are you? I'm not very funny, I guess, but. All right, so this is what we're looking at. Sin, it really has always been our greatest universal and common enemy. Obviously, the law applies to those to whom it is given, for its purpose is to keep people from having excuses and to show that the entire world is guilty before God. For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. So that's where we left off last week. Suppose I've been on a long walk in a beautiful park somewhere, and I really want to sit down. My legs are tired, my feet are aching, and I come across a park bench that is there in this park, and it's a really comfortable looking park bench. But it has a sign on it that says, wet paint. The law, or Torah, in some ways is like that wet paint sign. It alerts us and makes us aware of a certain issue, in that case, that the paint might be wet. And I know that maybe some of you are wired differently than I am, but let me tell you the way my mind works when I see a sign like that and I actually want to be sitting on that bench. Is that comfortable looking park bench? Is the paint really wet? And I'm the kind of guy who is going to reach out and put my finger on it lightly. See, and if I don't get anything, I'll put it on a little harder to see if it's sticky or not. And I'm the kind of guy that will sit on it and get paint on me. Yes. So when it comes to the things that God asks us to do or not to do, if it's not in alignment with my personal desires, or if it doesn't make sense to me, I want to test those things. I have been alerted to an issue, hey, this is wet paint. But I'm asking the question, is it really? Is it really that bad? Is it really a problem? Is it? So the law, it does have the power to correctly inform us. That's one of the ways that God's Word works. But just having that word, the Torah, the law, it doesn't guarantee I am going to listen to and follow the guidance that is given me. Does that make sense? I may know what is right or wrong, but that knowledge alone doesn't mean I'm going to fulfill that and follow that perfectly. But now God has shown us a way to be made right with Him without keeping the requirements of the law. As was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are, Jew, Gentile, rich, poor, rich, poor, whatever the differences are that we have. There's one way that we are made right, and it's by faith now. Again, the law does teach us what? It makes us aware of issues, what is right and what is wrong. But it doesn't provide you with self-justification by your own religious achievement. And why is this? Because you cannot keep the commands of God perfectly for all time. So what's Paul talking about here? There were a lot of people in Paul's day who took very seriously the charge to try to be perfect to the letter of the law and to try to follow it perfectly. And yet, Jesus says, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious teachers, the experts who make a lifetime, give their life energy to trying to do this perfectly, unless your righteousness exceeds or goes beyond that kind of righteousness, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And so Paul is illustrating two different ways forward. One is a dead end, and the other, but humanity tends to try this dead end, being made right with God by doing what the law commands, keeping the rules, so to speak. But the way that really works is that we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. That's what actually works. And that doesn't mean listening or falling to the rules is unimportant. It's just not something that we can do perfectly all the time. All right. The focus that gives us the power to actually fulfill the law. It's not self-focus. That comes with the temptation to boast in our own achievement. The focus that gives us power is fixing our eyes on Jesus Christ. So in verse 322, this phrase, faith in Jesus, I think it's actually better translated as the faith of Jesus. And let me talk about the faith of Jesus. What was the faith of Jesus? What is the kind of faith that Jesus himself had? I can trust my Father for everything. My Heavenly Father is going to take care of everything. He is able to bring justice. He's going to make things right. So to have faith in Christ, we necessarily have the faith of Christ. Maybe that's splitting the hair, but I think it's important for us to think about the kind of faith that Jesus himself had. We have faith in Christ, in the person of Christ, in what he does and accomplishes for us. When they're on this is an aside, but when they're in the boat rowing and there's a storm in the Sea of Galilee and Jesus is asleep on the cushion, and they have faith. They have enough faith to wake Jesus up. Don't you care that we're going to drown? They have faith in Jesus. But at that moment, they didn't have the faith of Jesus. That my Father is going to take care of everything according to what he knows is right and good. And in fact, he calls them little faiths in that moment, because they have faith in Jesus, but not the faith of Jesus. All right, enough with that. Have you heard this verse? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Is that a familiar verse to most of us? If you've been around for any length of time, we've heard these things before, rumors about this, that, this is a problem for everyone. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Raise your hand if you know the verse that follows those words. Are you looking it up? I heard Bible pages. That's great if you do. But a lot of times we focus on that first part of the verse. It's as bad as we suspected. We're all a mess. And we forget about the kindness of our God. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. Okay, penalty of our sins. He has set us free. So, the universal problem that each of us has, our failures, whatever mistakes you've made in your life, that's not the end of the story. Not if you're in Christ Jesus. Not if you believe in Jesus Christ. See, for those of us who are in Christ, your story, no matter how messy it is, and some of you guys got some messy. I've got some messy. The story that Christ is writing in our lives and our hearts, the story of Calvin, it's not a tragedy. Not a tragedy. The story of Calvin is, well, sometimes it's a comedy. The story of Calvin is a rescue mission. The story of Calvin is a story of redemption and Christ coming and saving me and doing for me what I don't have the strength and power to do for myself. The biggest chapter of your story in your life is not the story of your failure, of your darkest moment, of the worst thing, that mistake that you've made. The bigger part of your story is that God has declared you righteous through Jesus Christ in undeserved kindness. So, let's get into this next verse here. But to be justified, it's legal terminology. So I don't know any of you who are too aware of legal terminology. If you're a lawyer or a judge or someone who works with courts, we hear this legal term justification. It's also a theological term. But justification is about exoneration. To be exonerated means you're officially clearing someone from blame, guilt, or a criminal charge. Typically, after new evidence proves their innocence, it signifies that a person accused or convicted of wrongdoing is found not responsible, often involving the reversal of a conviction or the removal of accusations. The removal of accusations. Okay. So, suppose you are convicted of a crime and you really are guilty and everyone else knows you're guilty and there's no evidence that is there to prove you're innocent because you're guilty. But when it comes to the issue of our sin, the kindness of God sees if there is faith in Jesus Christ in your life and in your heart. Have you professed that? And God sets us free from the penalty of our sins. Here's another verse that I think we'll come to soon enough in Romans. What are the wages of sin? The wages of sin, death. The wages of sin and death, but the gift of God. So, God frees us from the penalty of our wrongdoing. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in past times. For he was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in this present time. So the ramifications of what Jesus did, God left sin unpunished because he knew what was coming in Jesus. He knows all the future sins that were committed after Jesus. And some of those are going unpunished because of what Jesus himself took on as our Savior. So, what is a sacrifice? In the Old Testament, why did they sacrifice animals on an altar? Or what is a sin offering? What was the purpose behind that? Well, I mean, isn't it in a way, and I know this doesn't fit exactly, but in a way, isn't that a way to pay for sins? The sacrifice is a way that a wrongdoing is acknowledged and an animal is killed, receiving the punishment that someone else actually deserves. But there's something deeper going on in verse 25 that I want to point out to you. What this translates here is a sacrifice for sin. Most of our English translations actually miss what is going on in the literal Greek here. Not that I'm a Greek nerd, I don't claim to be, but I read a lot of the commentaries and stuff. So, God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sin. NIV says God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement. And those things are related there, but the literal Greek word that is used there is that God put this new mercy seat there. And Jesus is that mercy seat. Well, what is the mercy seat? You know, have heard about the Ark of the Covenant. Some of you, at least, maybe. The mercy seat is the lid of the Ark of the Covenant. And so Paul is using some pretty specific language here, and this is great. So Jesus is a sacrifice of atonement, yes. He's the one who gives his own blood and is our resurrected high priest, to use the language of the Sermonator in Hebrews. He's also the one who sprinkles his own blood on the mercy seat. But Paul is taking us in a slightly different direction here in Romans 3:25. And let's look at these verses about the mercy seat from Exodus. Make the ark cover, the place of atonement, from pure gold. And then it goes on to give dimensions, to talk about these winged cherubim that they're supposed to put on there, and it goes into this elaborate description. But then it ends with these words: and then put the atonement cover on top of the ark, and I will meet you there and talk to you from above the atonement cover. So what Paul is doing in Romans 3:25 is he's using this word mercy seat, hilasterion, to make the point that Jesus is the place of atonement. He is the place where we meet the living God. And if you got to go to a place to contact God, Jesus is that place. That's the point that Paul is making here. A mercy seat, that we touch the presence of God. So, I like to think, you know, sometimes where do you find God? Where's God in the Bible? Well, one of his addresses, if his home address, Jesus Christ. My home address is 3111 Myrna Avenue. God's address is Jesus Christ. That's where you find him. Okay. In Romans, Paul is showing this imagery to us of the mercy seat. God did to demonstrate his righteousness, for he himself is fair and just, and he declares sinners to be right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. Can we boast then that we have done anything to be accepted by God? No, because our acquittal, legal language again, our acquittal is not based on obeying the law. It's based on faith. Faith is about trust. What are you actually trusting? See, God is just to punish sin. He's right to do so, whether that sin is past, present, or future. God is just to punish our sins. In fact, if God does not punish evil, you can't say that he's just. Because justice is about putting things back right. Justice is all about putting the scales back into balance. But the way God's people are put back right with God is that he gives the punishment we deserve to another. What each and I deserve ourselves, he's giving to another person. So I want to try to make this real for you in some way, to give you a picture that goes beyond just the words of what I'm saying. And so I need a volunteer. I need someone who's at least committed one sin in their life. Someone who has committed one sin in their life to come up here. An honest person who can own up that I'm a sinner in need of the grace of God. Okay, Carly, this will work. Come on up here. All right. Thank you for your courage to come up here, because you never know what kind of harebrained right field ideas the preacher might come up with. Okay. So you acknowledge that you have had sin in your life that Christ has had to deal with. Okay. Do you ever feel guilt or shame over the bad things that you've done? Yeah. All right. So, and I'm just not asking Carly, I'm asking the whole church this. If I asked for you to talk to me about bond debt redemption as salvation, would you explain that to me? Or would you explain to me the nuances of substitutionary atonement? Or can you define the term propitiation to me? Some of us might know a little bit about some of those things. But let me give you a picture that makes this a little bit clearer. All right. Can you just go ahead and have a seat here? But put your legs, your knees in the front there. All right. So that way your back is exposed. And now I need an executioner of justice. There's an executioner of justice coming up here. And I happen to have
my mother's strap.
I happen to have a leather belt here. All right. So an executioner of justice is able to bring the punishment that she deserves. She's acknowledged that she needs, you know, the Lord's help, that she still deals with some of these ideas of this, and the forgiveness of Christ is what she needs in all of this. We all understand that. But, and this is just one illustration of a kind of punishment. But it's nothing like the punishment that Christ himself received. And so, brace yourself. Our executioner of justice is going to go ahead and bring some punishment that is deserved, and it's going to hurt a little bit, and it may leave a mark for a while, but you'll get past it. All right. Hold. Whew, that was close. That was close. And what Jesus does for us is at the last moment, at our weakest, he comes. He comes. Okay, go ahead. Okay, again. Okay, we're done. All right, good job, Isaac. Good job. You better run, boy. That's the picture of what Jesus does for us. What he takes on. Do you feel like boasting now about your own righteousness?
No.
Do you love your Savior?
I do.
That's what he does for you. Thank you. Give her a hand. We are made right with God through faith and not by obeying the law. After all, is God the God of the Jews only? Isn't he also the God of the Gentiles? Of course he is. There's only one God, and he makes people right with himself only by faith, whether they are Jews or Gentiles. Remember the story of Romans. It's the story of these pagans who are messy life people, who are coming into the church. And those Gentile Christians who've been a part of it for a while could be tempted to be like, well, at least we're not like them. And the Jewish people who have Torah say, hey, we have the actual very words of God. Thank goodness we're not like these other people. All of these different things that could separate us from each other, all of these reasons in our minds why we could pick up a stone and cast it. And Jesus coming, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. You know the reason why we can be united in Jesus Christ? It's not because we do everything right. It's not because we're all the same or we all pretend to be the same. It's because the punishment that makes us whole, Jesus Christ took on himself. It's because by his wounds, we have been healed. Do you understand that enough and unity is not going to be your problem? Because we know that this is all about our Savior and what he has done and accomplished for us. So our last verse to finish off Romans chapter 3. If we emphasize faith, does this mean that we can forget about the law? Forget about the rules? Doesn't matter. Of course not. In fact, it's only when we have faith do we truly fulfill the law. Who is going to do a better job keeping the rules of the household? A servant who works there, or a son or a daughter who loves their father? It's the one who loves, who is going to actually do a better job of keeping the rules than a person who's just trying to keep the rules. Faith is trusting that God is going to take care of you. Faith is trusting that God is going to do right by you. No matter what you've done in this life, no matter what you've been through, horrible as it may be, the faith of Jesus is trusting God the Father no matter what this world throws at you. And this world throws some rough stuff at us. And so next week, Lord willing, we're going to get into Romans chapter 4, where it's the story of Abraham. And Abraham is one of the ways that Paul shows that justification, it really has always been a matter of faith. And we're going to look at the faith of Abraham and why he was such an amazing guy. He didn't do everything perfect. He made plenty of mistakes. We can read all about him. And yet, his faith, God credits that faith to him as righteousness. And that's the way it works for us who are in Christ Jesus as well. So we will see that the law itself testifies and supports that righteousness and our being made right, it actually comes by faith, not by the law or the works of the law. So that's our sermon for today. Thank you for our volunteers who were so brave to come and do that. And give them a hand. We always offer an invitation, and this is a way that we take on faith in Jesus Christ. And we make a commitment and a pledge to him by being born again and in the waters of baptism, and are being renewed in that and forgiven of our sins and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit who helps us to know the will of God and to follow the will of God. We begin to have the ability more and more to walk in the Spirit instead of walking in the flesh. And so if there's some way that we can be a help to you for that, or if you want to put the Lord on, or not just baptism, but if you just want prayers from the church, if there's some kind of need you have, we love to pray for one another. You can find me up here, up front, and let me know that need. Just come up and tell it to me. But let's go ahead now and stand and sing our invitation song together.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness.
All right, our sister Marina Hansen, she comes forward and is asked for the prayers of this church. And tough stuff been going on. And she needs family now, and Daniel too. And as a church, I want us to be that family, to support and to love them. There's been some difficult situations with their parents, and specifically they're going through a hard time right now of trying to set up healthy boundaries for them as a family. And you know that it changes the dynamic when you are having your own child and the need to protect your own child and for their health and safety. And so they're kind of in the thick of it right now with some pain and some family drama. But Daniel and Marina, if you would stand up here, and then any of you who want to join us who are part of this body to lay hands on them and pray over them, I'm going to say a prayer on their behalf. Lord, we love Daniel and Marina. And we love this new life you are knitting together in her. And Lord, I just pray for your strength and your help. Help them to navigate the difficulties of tensions with parents, that they try so hard to honor them, and yet there's some things that are not healthy or safe or that are even toxic. And so I pray that you give them the strength and wisdom that they need through your Holy Spirit. This is an impossible marriage that's led to an impossible situation, that we are just walking in this miracle of this family being together. And we know that it's not straightforward, and we know that it's not all easy, but we trust you in it, Lord. And Lord, so help us to be a family to Daniel and Marina. Help us to be a church who helps protect them. And Lord, I just pray for your spirit to help walk with them in this time. Bring your peace, Christ Jesus. I pray for help and healing for Marina's parents, for Daniel's mom in some way, that you just help them to do the hard things now so that things can get to a place where they can move forward for a healthier future and a God-honoring future and a future where this baby will be safe and raised in a household of love and will someday come to name you, Jesus Christ, as their Lord and Savior. So help them now in this time and give them strength in this time. We love this family and we trust you to do all of this on our behalf. But we ask in the mighty name now of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, help them, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen.
Amen.
For the announcements this morning, I would like to encourage you guys to make sure you grab a bulletin on your way out. Being the last one of the month, there's a lot of information here for activities that are happening in May, so please take a look at that. Just to call out a few, don't forget, ladies, that May 2nd from 3 to 7, there's a ladies' prayer and fellowship meeting. If you're planning on attending, please RSVP to Marina or Mackenzie. It'll just be some prayer time, hanging out and having dinner together. Mother's Day's coming up, so on Mother's Day there'll be a group church photo taken by a photographer, and she will also offer a photo set up outside for $10 per family if you're interested in getting your picture taken on Mother's Day. One last announcement. I forgot my note on, so I'll try to get it right. The Redmond Church of Christ is they're the sponsor of Round Lake Teen Camp in the summer. They've reached out and asked for help with the increased cost of everything nowadays. They're looking for some extra donations from congregations that send their kids there. So if you're a grandparent or a parent of kids that have been there, or a recent student, and would like to make a donation, it would be appreciated. And the elders have agreed that we will match those donations up to $1,000 and send to the camp. So if you're able to donate, that'd be great. All right. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we just thank you for this wonderful weekend, the time we had yesterday to come together and help maintain the grounds and the building that you have blessed us with. Father, we just thank you for all the projects done yesterday, that they are done safely and the improvements were made. Father, we just thank you for worship today, for each person here, the willingness to come in and fellowship with one another and build each other up. We just pray that our service was a pleasing aroma to you and that the encouragement was given to all. Father, there are many in our congregation that aren't here today for one reason or another, whether it be health or traveling. Father, we just know you know where all those the help needs to go, that we just pray that you comfort them and keep them safe until they come back to us. Father, as we go out in the world today, we just pray that we have your eyes and ears and we can and get into people's lives and let them know about you. Just be with us as we go there, in Jesus' name.
Let's all go ahead and stand for this last song. Hallelujah, praise Jehovah. From the heavens, praise his name. Praise Jehovah in the highest. All his angels, praise proclaim. All his hosts together praise him. Sun and moon and stars on high, praise him, O ye end of heaven, and ye floods above the sky. Let them praise his gift, Jehovah, for his name alone is high. And his glory is exalted, and his glory is exalted, and his glory is exalted far above the earth and sky. Let them praises give Jehovah, they were made at his command. Them forever he established, his decree shall ever stand. From the earth, oh, praise Jehovah, all ye floods and dragons all, fire and hail and snow and vapor, stormy winds that hear him call. Let them praises give Jehovah, for his name alone is high. And his glory is exalted, and his glory is exalted, and his glory is exalted far above the earth and sky. All ye fruitful trees and cedars, all ye hills and mountains high, creeping sing things and beasts and cattle, birds that in the heavens fly, kings of earth and all ye people, princes, great earth, judges all. Praise his name, young men and maidens, aged men and children small. Let them praises give Jehovah, for his name alone is high, and his glory is exalted, and his glory is exalted, and his glory is exalted far above the earth and sky. God bless you all. Have a wonderful and blessed week.